Please be seated. Let's pray, and then I'm going to show you a little video. Lord, we are grateful for your presence with us this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak your word to us so that we can better follow your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
My church is open and inviting.
My church is a place where there's always going to be a merciful response to what I'm going through.
They accept me for who I am.
I can come regardless of what's going on in my life. It's a place where I feel safe.
My church is a place of forgiveness. It's grace-filled.
It's a place where there's mercy for me.
My church is a great place to learn about God.
There's always something new, and I always seem to relate to what is going on.
My church is one of the most creative and inspiring places that I go every week, sometimes twice.
It's a place where my kids have a great time, and they're learning, and I know that they are safe.
My church is a place where I can come and use my talents and can help other people.
My church is a place of healing.
Just gives us that extra support that sometimes is hard to ask for.
Anything I go through, there's other people and probably a group that are going through it too, and I can join with them.
My church is open and inviting. It's grace-filled.
Fun, loving,
creative,
peaceful,
healing,
accepting,
real,
full of God,
invigorating,
welcoming,
freeing,
honest.
It's a place where God is alive.
It's my soft place to fall.
My church is where my family has started a story.
It's a place of hope, healing, forgiveness, and grace.
My church brought me back to life.
It's a place that I will always call home.
What words would you use to describe our church, and what is important to you? Especially as we try to be the church that Christ calls us to be. I would invite you to take out your sermon notes if you'd like to follow along with me. And we are in this sermon series, Look. And it's helping us to set our vision for this year and the years ahead. So if you take a look, how many of you would agree that our country, our nation is more divided today than 5 years ago? Would you agree? Disagree? How about the church is more united today than 5 years ago? Who would agree with that? Who would disagree? Depends on what we're talking about, right? If we're talking about our denomination, maybe so. If we're talking about our local church, we might have a different answer for that. How about this? Most people can do more than they think. Do you agree? Disagree? All right. Compromise is a sign of weakness. What do you think? Do you agree with that? Disagree? Do you think our politicians agree with that? Disagree? Came across a couple quotes that I thought were interesting. This one, I'll have to read it because it's a tongue twister. You can be committed to church, but not committed to Christ. But you cannot be committed to Christ and not committed to church. What do you think? How many agree? Disagree? And then this one came across. I think if the church did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have anyone sleeping on the streets. That actually was an audible response. Kind of interesting. You know, it's interesting what we believe is the purpose of the church, right? you know, part of when we were looking at our strategic plan and, you know, we finished up our home goals and, you know, what is the next chapter for us and what are we going to try to do and try to be? And so, you know, the idea of 2020 vision and setting that vision and purpose for our church, we focused on this word, look. Last week, we talked about looking up and living out our faith and not just We want people to grow in faith, but we want people to live it out in the way that we treat other people or care about the world around us. You know, it's our opportunity to work on our vertical relationship with God. The second one that we're going to be looking at today is offering community and the importance about looking in. Next week, we're going to be talking about looking out and opening doors. And then finally, we're going to talk about what that looks like in kingdom building and the way that we try to make a difference in the world. But these are goals for us to try to center on what we believe God is calling us to do. And depending on, you know, the season we're in or how you feel about it, there's some that we are stronger in and then others. That's just reality. It has been true with every church that I've been in. We've had some strengths as well as we've had some growth areas. And so today, especially, as we look in, you know, we're looking in what's the purpose of our church. You know, some might say it's to spread God's message of grace and love. Some might say it's to teach children about God. Some might say it's to evangelize and to bring others into relationship with God. Others might say it's to continue Jesus' earthly ministry of caring for people and healing others and welcoming all folks into the community. You know, all these things are very important, aren't they? And that's why we have different ministry teams where people are passionate about certain areas, whether it's children, youth, or adults, or missions, or worship. Isn't it great that our church has a strong tradition of music ministry and that our choir is off in a retreat and trying to learn music and to bond and to use the gifts that God has given? All these things are helpful, especially as we think about offering community. We literally say that almost every week, don't we? We believe everyone needs a church home. Say that with me. We believe everyone needs a church home, an extended family, right? To help us to go through those valleys, to celebrate the mountaintop experiences, a place where people can use their gifts. And so we come to this passage of Scripture, which talks about the church using their different gifts. And I got to believe that there must have been some sort of, you know, things that they were thankful for and things that they were concerned about. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to a congregation. And I'm trying to figure, you try to figure out, well, I wonder what was going on. You know, I wonder what things that they were thankful for. And as we think of our church, things that we're thankful for, the ministries, the traditions, the importance of missions. All these things are important. That we can agree to disagree. That doesn't happen in every church or every family even. You know, but the idea that we want to welcome people that look at life a little differently because maybe we can learn more about what it is to live in God's kingdom, especially as we study God's word together. And so, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. I believe it. You know, it's wonderful to see people engaged in ministry and trying to live their faith out in the way that they treat other people. But I have to admit, I'm concerned about our church. I'm not concerned really about the next couple years. I think we're okay, right? But I am concerned about 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Elaine Wallace at our session meeting, when we were meeting, you know, she wants this church to be here for her children and children's children. And you look at that, and we have some challenges, don't we? That's one of the challenges I think of a lot of, especially mainline denominations. It's a different day today than it was when I began ministry a few years ago. Let me just say that. People have been doing statistics about the church. And there's no question that less people are attending as a whole church on a regular basis. In fact, they just flipped. There's more people who do not attend regularly. And we do see that there's some generation gaps. from people of, we talked yesterday at the memorial service about the greatest generation, between that generation and the current generations. Don't see it the same way. And there's a disconnect. And so you look at it and you go, well, okay, I think we're okay for the next couple years and few years, but what about 5, 10, 15 years down the road? What is the church going to look like? And is the church going to be vital, and is it going to engage people? All these sort of things we look at, and you got to believe even that people in the first century were asking themselves questions about the importance of different ministries. So we have these words from the Apostle Paul. I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I'm sure that would never happen anywhere. My ministry is more important than your ministry, Anne Marie. You know, and not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amazing how many times we hear that in the Apostle Paul's vocabulary, you know. But to think with sober judgment. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Goes on to say, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And I think that's one of the beauties about the church, isn't it? And one of the importance, especially about being Presbyterian, we want people to be doing ministry. And it is great when people are passionate about something that they want to invest their energies, their time, resources, abilities into trying to make a difference. You know, I love it, Joyce, about helping people come to church. The challenges. We don't want to leave people behind, and there might be an activity that's going on. I know this. I don't drive as much at night that I used to. I don't. And I know other people do as well. And so then if we think about an evening service or a study or something like that, we think about people being connected or even coming Sunday morning to make that extra effort to say, come on with us. We don't want to leave you behind. We're members one of another. We are better together. We experience more of what it is to be the body of Christ when we're together and united. And yet it is a challenge. It's a challenge because we have to set priorities. And at different times, there's different priorities. As with families, it's true with the church. We're trying to figure out how do we engage younger families. These families are over-programmed today. There are so many options for people. You've heard me say that when I was a youth pastor at Memorial Drive, nothing occurred on Sundays. And at the very end of my ministry, people started to offer SAT classes on Sunday afternoon because it was an open day that people had free on their calendar. There are even times when on Wednesday evenings, teachers wouldn't give homework because that was church night. It's a different day today. And what are we going to do about it? I think part of what the church is trying to figure out, well, how do we engage people? How do we help people feel like they're together? And that's why we do want people to get connected somewhere. Whether it's a ministry, whether it's a study group, whether it's a covenant group, whether it's singing in choir or helping with youth group, all these are avenues for us to connect with one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given. And thank goodness, because we have seen some incredible things that have happened as people have shared their gifts and passion. When Stuart McCall and other pastors and members people living in this community started NAM. You know, it started as a need, and as people pooled resources together it's just amazing how that has been blessed over the years, and the incredible amount of people, literally thousands of people, that are helped as a result of that effort. People combined resources, talents, abilities, faith communities. We've seen it with Sleep in Heavenly Peace, right? Where someone became passionate about helping children and youth have a place to sleep. Opportunities for people to use gifts and to figure out what we can do to make a difference in the lives of people. So part of that is, how united are we? An area that I think is a challenge, we're going to hear about it next week, is especially how do we open doors at the, later on today, our outreach ministries team is having a retreat to figure out ways that we can reach out. And it's not just outreach ministry, but it's all of us. The extra credit homework, I would love for all of you to do it, is to think about someone who's disconnected that needs a church home. What would happen if you said, hey, what are you doing next Sunday? Would you like to get involved? Or, you know what, we're working on the Habitat building over at the Restore, and would you be interested in helping us? And you never know, but it's a way to open a door. It's a way to say, we'd love for you to join us, especially as we try to figure out how to help our community. How well are people here using their gifts? I have to say, I am extremely encouraged by the passion and the dedication of our members, the commitment. It is wonderful to see people giving hours in trying to help other people in tangible ways, dedicated to trying to figure out what the best way that we can help in ministry. It's interesting, the list of gifts that were mentioned, prophecy. Even the one of the hymns that we were singing about spoke to the idea, are we speaking up when we see an injustice? When we see an opportunity also to help us move forward. Ministry, that word comes from a Greek word that means diakonia, which is the deacons, but the idea of service. And how we're here to serve God, which I believe we do it by serving others. Teachers and the importance of that. We see even in the giver in generosity, the compassionate in cheerfulness, the leader in diligence, all these are specific ways. How has God gifted you to help us fulfill Christ's mission to build the kingdom here on earth? How has God gifted you? A while back, I received, Anne Marie and I received a nice note. Pastor Paul, Pastor Anne Marie, it's a tradition in our Bible study group to have a friendship dinner. Everyone brings a dish to share, and we always have great fun. Besides the great food, one of our traditions is to go around the table and tell everyone what we're thankful for. I wanted you both to know that every one of us in our thanks included Northwoods, our church family, you two. We all feel that being a part of Northwoods enhances our lives, helps us on our faith journey, and contributes to the joy we feel as Christians. I love that. And don't we want to share that with others? Isn't that something that we want to reach out to others and say, you know what? Be part of this group. We want to experience your joys and sorrows. And we want to see you use your gifts in ministry to help others. So I do ask you to think about, do you know someone right now who does not have a connection with the church family? Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've gone through a difficult time. Maybe they're family has moved away. Who knows what's going on? But I do believe that God could use you to open a door and to say you care. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for ways that we experience your grace and love. We're grateful for fellow folks of this church family who have been there for us, who have helped us get through a tough season or a valley, who've also celebrated with us. Lord, we think of all your children, especially those who are hurting, and we pray that you would use us to reach out and say we care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our affirmation of faith is really an opportunity for us to reaffirm our baptismal vows. I don't know about you, but I don't remember my baptism. I was baptized as an infant. But I do remember growing up in our home where my parents took seriously their baptismal vows. And throughout my life, there have been those opportunities to say, yes, I'm all in. And so this morning, especially on this Sunday when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, it's an opportunity for us to reaffirm our baptismal vows, to be reminded that it's because of God's grace that we're a part of God's family. In baptism, God marks us as God's children. It's that extended family that we experience God's unconditional love. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. But God loves us unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. So would you please stand and let us reaffirm our baptismal vows responsibly. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and will you be his faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Relying on the mercy and forgiveness of God, will you celebrate God's grace and be an instrument of God's grace with others? Will you seek to grow and deepen your faith as you help create community in this congregation? Will you work to make a difference in the lives of people in this community and throughout the world by offering yourself, your time, talents, and resources? Please be seated. I don't know if you're reading through the Bible again, but as I'm reading through the Old Testament, especially these early stories remind us that we are blessed to be a blessing. How has God blessed you to bless others?